Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Glad that God has gathered all of us together this day to receive his gift of forgiveness through word and through sacrament. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get underway. The first is, as some of you know, I was under the weather a little bit this past week. Pretty severely for me, actually, for a couple of days. You can maybe still hear a little bit in my voice. We will see how it goes. If at some point I'm no longer able to sing the liturgy, we will revert to speaking the dialogue. So I will speak and the congregation will speak and reply. Those things that are spoken back and forth, like the Lord be with you and with my spirit, right? Also, note that, Jeremy, I was throwing Remo under the bus.
Yeah, no, okay. No.
The last hymn is 582, not 852.
No,
it's 528. No, it's some other variation.
It's 582.
So the bulletin is correct. The hymn board is wrong. And we spared Jeremy to change it. So those were those two things before the service, I think. Okay. The other thing was the temperature. For those of you who like it warm here, it's 73 degrees. But that's good if you like it warm. For those of us who don't like it warm, it's 73 degrees, and it's not going to get cooler. It's only going to get warmer, which is what happens when the air conditioner doesn't do its job overnight. The batteries ran out on the thermostat at some point, and so it was 80 in here this morning when I got there. So usually it's cooled it down to a nice 63 before church starts, so that by the time church is over, it's 73. So you can imagine if it's 73 when church starts, it isn't going to be 73 when church is over. I'm happy for it to prove me wrong, but we'll see.
But it's
high. It is running. Yes, it's just that it's running now, and it wasn't running properly overnight. So I'm sorry for any discomfort. For those of you who are too warm, I join you in your misery. For those of you who like it, 80, wait a few minutes, and it'll probably be you may have to take that sweater off.
Yes, exactly.
If you start chirping, no one's going to think ill of you.
And no jostle.
And yeah, I'm probably not going to sweat in Pastor Adler's gospel, right? Any more than I normally do. So for our time of catechesis, we are continuing with the table of duties. Last week we had the bishops, pastors, and preachers. And this week we have what the hearers owe their pastors. So if you're following along on page 328, the first passage that we have here is from 1 Corinthians 9:14, which says, "The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." In our church body, there's all sorts of talk about having, pastors who have jobs at Home Depot during the week and preach the gospel on the weekend, like other religious traditions do. This passage would seem to say some clear things about that. Pastors should receive their living from the gospel. It's always a little awkward for pastors to be the ones to talk about things like their salary, but certainly that's what this is addressing. The second passage in Galatians 6, "Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Man reaps what he sows." And as that goes on, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. So encouraging people to reap, or to sow rather, abundantly so that they can reap abundantly. From 1 Timothy 5, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading up the grain, and the worker deserves his wages." I guess if you have to refer to me as an ox, you can, but I'll be happy with my grain. 1 Thessalonians 5, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." people in the congregation living in peace with one another certainly is a service to their pastors. The pastors are not always able or never able to really control that. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that will be a no advantage to you. That's pretty straightforward. I'm going to let that speak for itself. Any other comments or questions on these passages, what the hearers owe their pastors? Next week of civil government. I'm sure nobody has any of that at all. The preparation for setting one is on page 151. I invite you to stand there. Further, please stand if you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, and Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give thanks, we praise you for your glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us courage to take up our cross daily and follow him wherever he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Yes, when you realize that you have not done everything before the service that you intended to do before the service, such as making sure that all the reeds were exactly where they needed to be. I was thrown off by that thermostat that was not working. And when they told me to wait, I stood there and I waited and watched while the paint dried. Instead of trusting that it would kick on in its own time way. All right. The appointed Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore thus says the Lord, If you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory dwells.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity.
And I trust in the Lord without wavering.
Prove me, O Lord, and try me.
Test my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes.
And I walk in your
I do not sit with men of falsehood.
Nor do I consort with hypocrites.
I hate the assembly of evildoers.
And I must sit with the wicked.
I wash my hands in innocence.
And go around your altar.
Proclaiming thanksgiving aloud.
And telling all your mercies.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory dwells.
Do not sweep my soul away with sinners.
Nor my life with blood.
In whose hands are evil devices.
And whose right hands are full of cries.
But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity.
Redeem me and be gracious to me.
My foot stands on level ground.
In the great assembly I will.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house,
and the place where your
epistle reading is from Romans, the 12th chapter. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Remain standing, if you're able, for the singing of the hymn of the day, 531.
join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we heard in last Sunday's gospel reading, Jesus declared his disciple Peter blessed after Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then, as we heard in today's gospel reading, which immediately follows in St. Matthew's divinely inspired gospel account, Jesus addressed Peter as Satan after Peter began to rebuke Jesus for beginning to show his disciples the divine need for Jesus as the Christ, suffering, death, and resurrection in order to save all people from their sins. Peter's almost immediate change from confessing Jesus to essentially denying Jesus is striking. Striking both in its recording in St. Matthew's gospel account and even in our hearing that account on two separate Sundays. By this point in St. Matthew's account, the devil had tempted Jesus based on Jesus' being the Son of God, which temptation culminated in Jesus' saying to the devil, "Begone, Satan." Also by this point in St. Matthew's account, Jesus has told his followers that everyone who confesses him before people, Jesus will confess before his Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Jesus before people, Jesus will also deny before his Father who is in heaven. Later in St. Matthew's account, when questioned by the Jewish leaders, Jesus confessed himself to be the Christ, the Son of God, while Peter, outside in a courtyard, three times essentially denied even knowing Jesus. And still later in St. Matthew's account, when Jesus was crucified, those who passed by, the Jewish leaders, and those who were crucified with Jesus, all mocked and tempted him over his claim to be the Son of God. This morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we consider primarily today's gospel reading in its immediate and broader context, directing our thoughts to the theme, denying ourselves and confessing Christ. At first listen, Peter might sound like he is just concerned about the Lord's well-being, that out of his love for his Lord and Master, Peter simply does not want anything bad to happen to Jesus. An alternate English translation of the Greek version of what Peter says, which translation the English Standard Version puts in the margin of its text, would have Peter say, "May God be merciful to you, Lord." And certainly later in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus himself prayed that if it be possible, according to the Father's will, Jesus be spared what was ahead of him. But our Lord's rebuke of Peter in today's gospel reading indicates that something more than Peter's love is in play. At a minimum, the effect of Peter's sentimental intervention coincided precisely with the devil's intent to deflect the Savior from his path to the cross. Furthermore, Jesus says that Peter was not setting his mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Too often we also immediately go from confessing Jesus to essentially denying Jesus. Too often we also do not set our minds on the things of God, but on the things of men. We hear our Lord's statement, that everyone who confesses him before people, he will confess before his Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies him before people, he will also deny before his Father who is in heaven. And we might come up with all sorts of excuses why we should not confess him as he intends us to. Instead of setting our minds on the things of God, we set our minds on the things of men, prioritizing what we think are rational reasons for not confessing Jesus fully in word and in deed. We may use our love for others or sensitivity to mask our unwillingness to suffer such things as the loss of what we might think is synodical security. We may be unwilling to bear personal costs, struggling through the battles that faithfulness to Jesus requires. And so we may step back from our service to our Lord and his church. Such conduct is hardly denying ourselves and confessing Christ, taking up our crosses and following him. We may save our life in this world, but lose our life in the next world. So from such sins, and from all our other sins, as from our sinful nature itself, God calls us to repent. What Jesus said to the devil at the end of his temptation in the wilderness, "Begone, Satan," is similar but not identical to what Jesus said to Peter in today's gospel reading, "Get behind me, Satan." Using the same phrase that Jesus speaks next about one's coming after him. One commentator likened Jesus' statement to Peter to a drill sergeant's shouting at a raw recruit to get back in line. Out of God's great love and mercy, God the Holy Spirit calls and enables us both to turn in sorrow from our sin of failing to deny ourselves and confess Christ, or whatever our sin might be, and to trust God the Father to forgive our sin for the sake of God the Son, Jesus the Christ. When we realize the full power of sin and death over us, then we better realize our need for Jesus to shed his blood in order to atone for our sin by his death. As Jesus prophesied, he truly went to Jerusalem, suffered many things from the Jewish leaders, was killed, and on the third day was raised, all for us and for our salvation. Interestingly, in St. Matthew's gospel account, Jesus mentions his followers taking up their crosses before he mentions his own cross. But make no mistake, Jesus defeated the devil once and for all by triumphing over him in his cross. When we apply the benefits of Jesus' death to ourselves, then God forgives us. For some people, how God forgives us is more of an issue than either who Jesus is as the Christ, the Son of the living God, or what Jesus does by suffering, dying, and rising to save all people from their sins. God forgives us through his word of law and gospel, read and preached to groups such as this group. And God forgives us through his gospel applied to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with bread and wine in the Holy Supper that are Christ's body given for you and his blood shed for you, and so also give you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In all of these ways, we are denying ourselves and confessing Christ, making clear both who we are as sinners and who Jesus is as our only Savior from sin. In all of these ways, God forgives our sin, creating and strengthening our faith. One commentator suggested that each of today's readings describes the life of a faithful disciple living in the midst of an unfaithful generation. In the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah, whose faithful ministry came at great personal cost. In the Psalm, David, who pleaded for the Lord not to sweep away his soul with sinners, nor his life with bloodthirsty men. In the epistle reading, Paul, who anticipates the Christian struggle in an unchristian world. And in the gospel reading, arguably Peter, as one who should be willing to lose his life for Jesus' sake in order to find it. As the faith that God creates and sustains in us leads us to at least try to make a total commitment, we still struggle with denying ourselves and confessing Christ. We still struggle with being content in our circumstances, with being patient in our tribulation. So as we did in the collect of the day, we ask God to grant us courage to take up our cross daily and follow him wherever our Lord leads. And when we fail to do so, as we will fail, then with daily contrition and faith, we live in God's forgiveness of sins. Yes, Peter's almost immediate change from confessing Jesus in last Sunday's gospel reading to essentially denying Jesus in today's gospel reading is striking. And we have beneficially considered our own denying ourselves and confessing Christ. As in last Sunday's gospel reading, Jesus assured Peter that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So in today's Old Testament reading, the Lord assured Jeremiah and assures us who may be discouraged that as we are faithful, he makes us a fortified wall of bronze against whom enemies will fight against, but not prevail over. For the Lord is with us to save us and deliver us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. With thanksgiving for God's revealing to us Jesus' identity as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and his work of suffering, dying, and rising in order to save all people from their sins, for us and for all who believe, that we faithfully might receive God's forgiveness in word and sacraments, and deny ourselves and confess Christ, fully in word and deed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth,
that she may set her mind not on the things of man, but on the things of God. For those persecuted for true faith in Jesus, that they may be faithful even to the point of death and receive the crown of life. For the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together, that we may be united in faithful teaching and practice. For pastoral candidates to be called and pastoral vacancies to be filled. For higher things, that as they evaluate this past summer's conferences, they might improve their plans for next summer's conferences. And for this congregation, that we might utter what is precious and be a wall of bronze, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and all of the baptized, that we would place all vengeance in the hands of God, who is ever righteous and faithful, and who will always carry out justice and deliver his people out of the hand of the wicked. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those God places in our lives who have strayed from the faith and who have never believed, that he might use us to tell them of his wondrous deeds, that they may join us here, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather, and especially for rain, to relieve the drought conditions in our and other areas, and to extinguish wildfires. And for all those affected by the flooding in China and Nepal, that they may be rescued, relieved, and restored in God's time and way, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially that political divisiveness would not prevent governments from functioning as intended. For the safety of non-combatants in war zones, for God to guide all those who make, judge, and administer our laws on every level of government, for all people to be good citizens, and for all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments to be protected, upheld, and granted discernment, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Brady, Remo, and Kathy, David, Charles, and all those who travel, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air, that their ways may be safe and their homecomings joyful, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they may be comforted. For victims of violent crime, that they may feel safe again. For those imprisoned and their families, that they may have hope and patience. For those shut in, that God, by his word and sacraments, may be present with them where they are. For Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Elaine, Gwen, Mary Sue, Bob, Linda, Ann, Steve, and all those in need of healing, that God might deliver them from their afflictions in his time and way. And to that end, for all those who serve in medical professions to have all necessary wisdom and skill, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the households of this congregation, that all may live in love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. For expectant mothers and their children to be brought safely through delivery. For all God's people to be content in their circumstances. For us to better protect God's gift of human life. For God to bless all schooling, those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for all of the occasions of life that give us joy, for us to remember that he who gives us times to laugh and dance also permits times to weep and mourn, and for us to trust that he remains with us through and gives us grace and strength to deal with all of the occasions of life that give us sorrow. Indeed, with every matter under heaven in its season, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross, and rose from the dead, to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Keep our peace. Amen.
Thank you.
drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you to forsake you, not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Right. Yeah.
So you're gonna have to bid higher if there's fewer bids.